Hi, everybody. You've reached Soup Pod with your host, Teresa Parker. This particular episode is nothing I wrote down, of course, as usual, but it will fuel itself. I figured this is as good a time as any to have a podcast or record a podcast, given what's been happening the last few days. let's start out with the obvious. I shot a commercial last month, and I wasn't really able to talk about any of it because they don't let you. They want to keep it a secret until the time comes to unveil it, which is completely understandable. And of course, all of us actors and anybody involved in it totally adhere to that warning because, well, first of all, it's legal. You sign something called an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, but also because you want it to be a surprise for people as well. I mean, you know, that's the idea behind keeping it a secret until it's time to unveil it, as it were. So I wasn't able to talk about it, but actually I'm able to talk about it now because it's out everywhere. I thought I'd break down the process for you. I know a lot of people probably wonder, maybe you don't wonder, maybe it's just in my head, but I think a lot of people wonder what actors go through and how they get the gigs that they do. You know, network gigging is, or auditions work, it's different than commercial. And in that way, the pay is very different as well. Starting off with network, I'll just give you an example the other day that I had. I had an audition for HBO. I can't say what show, because again, they don't like you to talk about it, but it's a prominent new show, on HBO, and they're in their first season of recording, as we speak. And, apparently I didn't get a call back because I haven't heard anything. It was a week ago. Every once in a while, something will squeak by kind of late, but you know, that's pretty much your window. That's what I figure anyway, unless it's a feature film, then the window could be much bigger. But anyway, my agent contacts me. He sends me an email. He has lists of gigs that he submits his actors for, he or she, in my case, he, and sends me an email, and then I get the official email from the casting. I learn who the casting office is, I learn where the audition is, when to be there, and if there are any quote-unquote sides, S-I-D-E-S. Those are just basically parts of scripts that you will see for your part. You're not going to see the whole script. There's no need for that. You just need to know what you're saying in your little part of your audition. So, I did have sides for this one. I think it was about 7 lines. They were easy lines, but not tongue-twisting or anything, and very understandable. Sometimes you get sides and you're like, I don't even know what the heck they're talking about. I'm going to do my best. And, you know, you just pick, you make a choice. You pick what you think is going on, and, you know, you go in and you sit down, you sign your name in to the register, and in this case, it was electronic. It was a small iPad, and you just, you know, type your information in there. And then you just wait. And if you come in too early, you're going to have a long wait, generally, especially if they're behind. But in this case, they were right on time. In fact, they were a few minutes early, and I think I got out right about the time I should have been there. So luckily for me and most actors, you get in, you get out. The unfortunate part is I have a really, really long drive. So it's basically get there, park, pay your few bucks if you have to, depending on where you're parking, if it's not street parking, if it's not a meter, you know. You park, you go over your lines again and again and again as you're walking in. You sit there and you try to clear your mind, you sign up, and in you go. So they call you in, and generally you stand there and in front of the camera on a mark, and you give your name. Sometimes they want to know how tall you are, and in this case they did. And they take the camera, and like a lecherous old man. They look you up and down with the camera and take a video of that so they know what your body looks like, what your entire body looks like, and your face as you say your name. And then they go, okay, well, let's just start off and go from there. And depending on who has the first line, you go. And in this case, they did. So we set our lines. And then she gave me the gal that was doing the reading. There's usually two people. Could be only one. Could be more than two. But in just the preliminary parts of the auditioning and casting part system or process, excuse me, they will usually just have somebody working the camera and somebody doing the reading with you. So in this case, that's what they had. It was two ladies, young ladies. And she redirected me to do it slightly different. And I tried to do it slightly different. And I made a joke at the end, thanked them. They thanked me. And that was it. Out the door I went. And it took less than 10 minutes, the whole thing. The drive took an hour and a half. That's just my world when it comes to commuting in for auditions. But in this case, in the commercial that I just booked and shot and is now airing, it's something called Mama Claus, M-A-M-A, and Claus like Santa Claus. It's a Facebook commercial about this wonderful military mama network, and they're actually nonprofit for active duty veterans and their families, and they do things such as exactly what you saw on the ad. They help families in their times of need. In fact, I just heard today that they do fallen soldiers on Fridays. And it doesn't matter how they die, whether of old age like my dad just did. He was a World War II vet, or I guess even, you know, on the battlefield or in sadly suicide. I mean, it doesn't really matter. They're going to honor that veteran, and they offered to honor my dad today on this coming Friday. And I thought that really touched me. I gave them all the information they needed to do that. And I'm just going to be very happy to see that on their page, Military Mama Network on Facebook. You can find them, like their page, join their network. I mean, do all of that and give if you can, because it's a worthwhile cause. They do things out of, you know, the goodness of their heart, helping people who truly need the help. And our military veterans and active duty indeed need our help and deserve our support. So that's the plug. Please go there, like the page, join the network, and give of your funds if you have any to give. That would be wonderful. Share their page. That's probably the biggest thing that they could ask for. That costs nothing but a finger click. So let's see. Let's go back to the process. Okay. So as usual, I got an email from my agent. And as I was reading it, he called me. He wants to follow up and make sure that I get everything that I need in order to go for my audition. And I did. And I went. And I remember very, very, very clearly sitting in this big, almost auditorium-style room with walls. And many of them are like this, maybe just not this big on the inside, but walls, with doors with walls on them, numbered. And when you come in, you look around and you find whatever audition is, whatever the name is of your audition, you find that. And again, you sign in, usually putting your name, your time in, your personal information, personal phone number, generally. They want to know your agency name and whether this is your first or second audition, stuff like that. Everything's, it's often different, but generally those are the things they're asking for. So I did all that. And I got to be honest with you, that first audition's a little bit of a blur because it wasn't terribly, didn't really stand out in my mind except for the part where we go in and there's four things on a table. And they tell you which one they want you to use when you go into the room. And you do like you always do. You give your name. They look you up and down with the camera. You give, in this case, they want to know, were you a veteran or not? And I am. And so I said that. Yes, I was a veteran of the Army. And they gave me crocheting needles because if you see the commercial, you'll know why they did that. That was part of it. And some other crafty things like bedazzling and sparkling stuff and just silly stuff like that. So they said, we're going to do about 15, 20 seconds of you doing whatever they asked you to do. And in my case, it was knitting or crocheting. And I think, I don't remember what knitting is and what crocheting is, the difference. One of them has a little hook end and one of them doesn't, just straight needles. But anyway, I digress. They did that for me and everybody. I had four ladies in with me, all together, myself included. And we all did our silly little thing, 20 seconds. And then I can't remember what we did after that. Honestly, I do not remember. Something. And we left. And I thought, well, that was that, because I don't know how to crochet. I must have looked stupid doing what I was doing. I was faking it, to be honest, as you do. And lo and behold, about 3 or 4 days later, I got a call back. And no one was more surprised than me, believe me. But I did get a call back, and I went in, and we were the first group to go in. I love being the first ones. I absolutely love it. That way I can get the hell out, and they don't get backed up. So, because I am in street parking in this particular place, and I don't want us to go too long, because I don't want to get a ticket. So, you know, that's the logistics of it in L.A., you know. So, anyway, went in with four ladies. They were all younger, way younger than me, and super cute and pretty. But I go in as myself. You know, I am can only be myself. I can't be anybody else. And so I've embraced my uniqueness in these situations and know that I will stand out among the crowd. And then when we stood and said our military experience, I was first, and I just stood there very sternly and said, Army. Lady next to me said, blah, 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 blah. I was the commander and this and that and blah, 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 and did all this and did it, da-da, blah, 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 blah. Took her like 20 seconds to get through her spiel. The next girl said a whole bunch of stuff. The next girl said a whole bunch of stuff. And then we went into our, what basically was like an improv situation, where we were pretending to figure out how to get into a house. And as it turns out, the house was that of a military spouse whose wife was deployed. And the wife who is deployed, the soldier, asks for the Military Mama Network to help. Basically help out, and they do, and that's the whole commercial. That's the whole gist of the commercial. So we're trying to figure out, and this wasn't even, as far as I know, part of the commercial, but it was just to see how you would play it and get a little of personality and this and that. And so we went down the list, and, you know, I started and was like, man, I'm not sure how to get in. Let's get a hold of their parents. You know, maybe we can jump it and, you know, figure out that way. And next person says something, next person says something, next person says something. And I realized they were playing it safe. Really safe, like super G-rated. And so somebody said something. I thought, well, here's my opportunity. So I said, you know what? I can get in that house. I have my ways. And one of the gals goes, Teresa, like all, oh my God. And I said, yeah, what can I say? I got a past. But I'm looking right in the camera and I'm giving it my personality. And that with my uniqueness must have done the trick, because after that, that was it. I got chosen. Now, it didn't happen right away. Several days later, they called and said they wanted to book me. But that's how they kind of runs down. And it's all on camera. And it's not like it's in front of you. It's far away. You know, you have to emote out to this faraway camera. The second audition, which is called the callback, is usually among the executives with whatever company you're going with, whatever product you're trying to sell, the director, producers, and Of course, the people that work the camera and tell you what to do. It's usually a full room, you know, half a dozen people generally. And it can be a little intimidating. It definitely can be intimidating. It can be a little nerve-wracking because, hey, it's a callback. That means they liked you. And after we filed out of our callback, I got a look at the room and there were probably 30 to 40 women in there already. And from what I understand, you're going to get about 3 to 5 people coming back on a callback. Per role, and there was like, I don't know, like 13 roles. I think there ended up being a few more after that, late additions, but that's why there were so many people. And, you know, I'm thrilled, man. Hey, there's 13 roles. I got a good chance. And lo and behold, I did book the thing. And, here's why it's such a big deal. This is, a SAG, Screen Actors Guild, union, national, commercial. And what that means is, in general terms, lots of money in residuals. Bring mama a new pair of shoes, or 20. Yeah, so that's why it's a big deal. It's a big, 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 excuse my language, fucking deal. Big deal. You know, generally, there's not that many in a cast. Generally, it's big competition. I mean, thousands of people will submit for these, and only a small portion of people, of those people, will actually get the audition. You have to consider yourself lucky and skilled with your resume and your headshots, because that's what they have to go on, and perhaps your IMDb. I don't know. I don't know how they do it exactly, but I'm sure they look you up one side and down the other, like a virtual proctologist, to make sure that they want you in, you know. And once you get there, you got to make the most of it. And gosh, Lord knows I've bombed many, and I've done pretty good in some, and thought I was going to get the job, didn't. And then others, I had no thoughts about getting a callback or booking, and yet I did. So you never know. But that's why it's a big deal. And the residuals, here's the thing with the residuals. This is a Class A, Class B commercial, which means pretty much it's going to go everywhere in the United States and online, everywhere. And so they pay you every time it gets aired on television, every time it gets aired online. And, you know, it starts off really big pay, and then just, you know, as it backs off, as it's shown more, the pay gets less and less and less, but still, the pay is fantastic. Hey, if it gets shown, you know, in 20 big markets, that's nearly $20,000 right there. Right there. So, fingers crossed, everybody. Fingers freaking crossed for a great Christmas, right? I haven't seen a dime, not even from the session fee just yet. Usually takes them about 2 to 3 weeks to get the check out to your agent, and then maybe another week after that to get it to you, depending on, you know, how your agent does it and their speed. But, yeah, haven't seen any money, but I'm looking forward to that first paycheck because, you know, like I said, mama needs a new pair of shoes, or 20. So you go to these things, you get picked, and you're with other people who are in the same business you are. You sit around all day long. Well, first off, let's back up. First off, if it's a commercial, generally you're going to get a fitting. And you get paid for that too, by the way. You would get paid for stuff like haircuts if they wanted to give you a haircut. If, say, they were looking for a military person, they go, hey, you have to cut your hair, though, to do this role. Hey, cut my hair, please. You know, or whatever the case may be. But in this case, it's a fitting, and they give you a little mileage, I believe, for that. And so I did that on the Tuesday before the actual shoot. Shoot was Friday. So came in, do the fitting. That's always fun because, well, first of all, they ask you to bring some of your own clothes so that you can mix and match things like pants and jackets and hats and just stuff that you would wear. And in this case, it was for winter. So we all sat around and waited for our turn, showed them our stuff. They got other stuff out. They have people who, wardrobe folks who are in charge of seeing how clothes fit on you and adding clothes to your to it. And sorry, the bling. You hear those blings? People are contacting me on my iPad down there. I'm actually recording this on my iPhone. But anyway, and so you sit around, do that. And then when that was over, you take home only the clothes they don't plan to wear. And you leave your clothes with them. And they'll put labels on them. And then it comes in the wagon. It comes in the trailer, in the wardrobe trailer. And so on your day that you shoot, and this is kind of the fun part of being a part of a commercial or any big, large production, they'll usually feed you. They don't have any problem with you coming early and feeding you because they know you're going to be there all day long. Some productions I know are very, very cheap, if you will, stingy with their food. Maybe they have to be. Obviously, they're trying to cut corners somewhere, but not commercials. Commercials usually have fantastic, meals, and they don't scrimp. So I remember getting there, and I grabbed some coffee and a breakfast burrito, and this was a staging area where they're going to feed you, and everybody parks at, and it happened to be in a mall parking lot. I had my burrito, and I sat across from this gal. I think her name is pronounced Zyra, maybe, Z-Y-R-A. She was sporting I don't know the name of the type of prosthetic it was, but it was for her lower leg, I believe. I don't know, maybe her whole leg, but for sure her lower leg, that's the only part I could see. She had blue hair, stunning blue eyes, just a really pretty young gal, and she was going to be part of the cast, which was so cool because they were bringing in veterans. And by the way, myself and only one other lady was one of the only veterans that actually got cast. And then other people, one gal got cast. She had breathing problems. I don't know if they actually showed that, but we convinced her. I think people convinced, not we as me, but I think they convinced her to go ahead and, put that oxygen on. That's who you are. You know, obviously they picked the gal with the prosthetic leg because they wanted her, look. And that's part of her. And so anyway, that was really cool. I thought that was a neat aspect of the whole thing. They brought in the founder of the group, Jerry Ann. She was going to be a part of it, part of the commercial. I saw her at fitting. And it was just a really cool thing. So once you get there, you eat, and then they shuttle you over on a van. In this case, it was to a neighborhood in the valley. I don't remember exactly what town, Valley Village maybe. I can't remember. But anyway, then you go to usually it's one of the ADs, assistant directors, and they have you sign papers, both for citizenship and for tax purposes and junk like that. And you sign all that stuff. And I remember it being many, many pages long. And then once you've got that all taken care of, you're waiting to be called to both wardrobe and makeup. And so I got both of those things taken care of. And those are always kind of fun. You're anticipating the day, and any day on set is better than any other day anywhere else, practically, for me anyway. I love it. Sorry, I'm still sporting a slight cough. So if I cough, I apologize. So then you wait around. And I literally waited all day long from about 8 o'clock when my call time was, or 7, I don't remember when it was, until like 4 o'clock when we actually started shooting my part. And my part was very interesting. And it was also, something new to me. It's always new. Every experience is new, but this was really, this was fun. Okay. So first part, now I want to give a shout out to this gal. She probably doesn't need me to give her a shout out, but Rachel Morrison, she was the DP on Black Panther. And being a female and being on such a badass movie, you know, you knew she was going to bring it. And she did. I saw the footage, all of it, and I didn't see the raw footage, but I just saw what turned out to be the finishing product, and it was killer. Really beautiful stuff. But anyway, so she's there, and they're trying to figure it out, and what they're doing is they don't tell the actors, to be quite honest, what the storyline actually is. It really doesn't matter. You just know your part, and so you do that part, and hopefully you do it properly, and they'll tell you, you know, if you need to adjust something. But basically, for me, I was supposed to start yanking on some lights that were on a house. Presumably, I guessed my house, which I think I guessed right in the end. I'm yanking down these lights and these reindeer up on top, a whole bunch of them, in a hurry. Like, screw it. I'm just going to pull them down. I don't have any time. I got to go decorate this you know, active member's house because her husband has these kids at home. She's deployed and she needs our help. So I'm yanking down these lights. And the first time I yanked it down so damn hard, like almost lost the lights as I yanked them. I yanked them so hard and I didn't yank quite as hard the second time. But we did a bunch of different angles. There were guys up on the roof resetting the reindeer. And as I would pull them down, I would screw them up by the reindeer's, you know, antlers would fall out. It was all plastic, but it was pretty heavy altogether. And because they had little stands, they actually, put on them after the fact. Anyway, so I'm yanking these off. We get that done. Woohoo! The crew had a bet going. It was a dollar bet. I had no money in my pocket. I could not join. But how many takes it would take me to get it done. And I think it took me like 5 takes. So I think somebody won. I can't remember which guy won, but one of them did. Had it right. And so we moved on, and I thought I was actually done for the day, to be quite honest. I honestly thought I was done. And then they called me over, and I realized, oh my God, they're going to do fake rain in a scene that I'm in. And by the way, the DP, director of photography, the cinematographer gal, she was in my grill. They showed that part as I was pulling on the lights. And then she was also in my grill in the other part that we shot. It's towards the end. It actually is very towards the end of the, it's about 55 second mark on the long version. The one where, I think it's the long version anyway. The one where they show me shoving a big box full of plastic antlers and plastic reindeer. It was actually a heavy box too. I had to do it like 10 times. I did it like 10 times with no rain, or no, 5 times with no rain, so they could figure out which direction, how they wanted to do everything. And then we did it with the rain. And by the time I was done, I was soaked. But anyway, that was all good. But they had a crane above the house. They had another crane, a handheld device where they shot out rain from that. And a big water truck. The whole place, you know, the whole production was right there. And I had to carry this box out and put it into the back of a truck and close the back of the tailgate, and then bang on the truck like, you're good to go, and then walk back into the garage where I came from. And they used the shot where I wiped my sleeves like as if I'd gotten wet, which was kind of stupid because it was a cotton, you know, garment jacket. So of course it wasn't going to come off, but anyway, I just did that. Nobody knows the difference. It's all make-believe anyway, right? And that was kind of cool. She was in my grill again. That was really neat. They didn't use that part, but they used the further away stuff to show that. And that was neat. And that was my day. Once that was over, then they worried about me. Oh my God, can I get you a towel? I'm like, I'm not a prima donna. I don't care. My hair's wet. I was sweaty. I feel good now. I had a cold 2 days later. I know you can't catch a cold from being in the cold, but you can if your defenses are down a little bit, and I was cold, so maybe that contributed to it. I don't know. Maybe it was already on its way. I ended up with a 2.5 week cold, and I still have a little bit of a cough. I'd take a 2.5 week cold after a gig like this every single time. If it made me book the gig, hell yes. But I'm smiling right now because I'm like, I don't care. show me the money, right? But as it turned out, that was the end, and we went back and, you know, got our clothes changed, and oh, they did get me that towel. They were concerned, so I bring me a towel, whatever, you know, so I wipe my hair off. Yeah, that was the end of it. We went back, got my car, off I went. That was the 18th of last month. And I heard they were going to cut our check fairly soon, but turns out I haven't actually been paid, like I said, so eh. It'll happen. And when the residuals start coming in, they come in fast and furious because they're from markets that are paying, you know, daily, literally. So you can get checks every day for so much time. I'm looking forward to that. It's a new experience for me. Residuals, that is. Yeah. I'm not disliking that aspect at all. But that's how those situations go. You know, you just try while you're shooting, you just try and listen to what they're telling you. You don't try, you do. You listen to what they're telling you. But if, like, there's a camera further away and or there's, you know, they're calling action from further away, you got to really listen. I've had that happen many, many, many times. I've been directed by a director in another room, in a viewing room, around a corner. Now, I can't hear for shit. Two reasons. I have tinnitus, and also I've had a lot of gunshot, you know, without ear protection, and I think that has contributed to my hearing loss. I don't know, but it sucks. So I really have to crank my neck, crank my ears, and crank my ear, you know, my neck, tilt my neck and my head, and try and hear what they're saying sometimes, depending. But they were right on it, so I could hear everything. Plus, they were yelling, "Action!" You know, "Cut!" And everybody and their brother yells "Cut." So in different places, so everybody knows you're free to move about until the next, you know, time they call it. Yeah, that was my experience, and from beginning to end. I guess the end really hasn't come yet because I haven't gotten paid. But here's the other part. You know, I really, really want to see you guys looking up that Military Mama Network on Facebook. And there's also, I think it's militarymamanetwork.org as well. And there's an absolute button right in the middle of the page. Dunk, you can hit that says donate. And I think they would just really appreciate it. Membership has gone up like 700 people overnight practically in the last few days. So I guess that wouldn't be overnight, but, you know, from when the commercial started and now that it's been airing for a day or so. I hope more will. I really do. I hope more will because it's really, really important. It's just a really worthy cause, you know. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. I'm a little over my usual time of about 20 minutes, but, what the heck, it's worth every word, every syllable. And, I hope to come back and, give you guys another experience booking something. Like I said, I didn't get called back on that HBO thing, but hey, I'm expecting to. Very soon, I'm expecting another gig very soon. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe that it's in the stars, it's already on its way, and it's just traveling a little slow, but it's there. It's coming. It's yours. Believe in that. And let me do one more thing. I want to plug a book. I've plugged it before. I get no money for plugging this book, none whatsoever. But D. Wallace wrote a book called Conscious Creation. Please get the book. Get her audio version or get the written version so that you may read it. And she's going to tell you how to have a better life. Have a better life by getting rid of old blockages that are holding you back in both love, finances, business, friendships, you name it. It will help you. You can parlay all of that information into having a better life. So, last plug. Thank you guys for joining me. This is Teresa Parker, your host on Soup Pod. I will see you next time. Kisses.
Thank you.